When you're doing what you love and you're passionate about it and you keep moving forward, magic truly happens. And that's what we've seen in the life of Tara Bench, who is founder of TaraTeaspoon.com. Tara, how are you today?
I'm doing really well, thanks.
Oh, okay. So, Tara, what I love about your story and your journey is that you go to college and you get your degree in culinary arts. Is that right? And with a minor in journalism. And everyone's graduating and they're like, oh, I wanna go work at a catering company. I'm gonna do this. And you're like, yeah, no, I don't wanna do that. I don't wanna do that. And you get really clear on what you want. And so
I do. In a funny way, all of my peers in my class wanted to be chefs and work in restaurants, and I knew that was a hard lifestyle.
then.
And while I wanted to cook, that's why I studied culinary arts, I didn't want to cook in a restaurant. So I actually told some of my professors, I loved food magazines, Bon Appetit and Food and Wine back in the day, and I would say, "Who makes the food in these magazines? Who is it?" And they were like, I don't know. But I slowly found out that there was a test kitchen at most magazines, and there must be people who cook, and there must be someone who makes the food in those pictures. And I found out later they were called food stylists. And so that was the journey, is yes, I wanted to cook. No, I didn't want to do what everybody else was doing, and I didn't really know how to do what I didn't know what I wanted to do anyway.
That's awesome, though. I love that because so many people, Tara, so many people just go through life giving whatever life gives them, right? And so they'd be like, well, you got your degree in culinary arts. You should probably just go do this. But you're like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. And then you went and figured it out because you got clear on what you wanted. The opportunities opened up before you. Where did you go? So you graduate, and what happens?
So I graduated, and before I finished school, I knew I needed to line up an internship. So that's kind of where that exploration came in. And I ended up calling every test kitchen in the country from a magazine that I could find a phone number for. And this was almost 30 years ago. And so I called and said, "Can I be your intern?" And honestly, the only person that said, "Oh, we can, you could come and interview to be our intern," because so many of them were like, "We already have our interns," or, "We don't do that," was the test kitchen director at Martha Stewart magazine. And she said, "Why don't, we usually get our interns from a culinary school, but why don't you come and interview?" So my sweet mom and I flew out to New York and I interviewed for her, and she let me come and be the intern in the Martha Stewart test kitchen to finish my degree.
Well, okay, wait. What gave you the courage, though, Tara? Have you been in sales? Do you have a
No, in fact, I don't like sales. It's uncomfortable for me.
But
It
you
was,
start cold calling test kitchens. That's incredible.
also you have to remember that's what we did. That was our only mode of communication. Email was so new that you couldn't just find somebody's email address. And so it literally was the phone number for the main desk that was listed in the masthead of a magazine. And so that was the only way I knew how to communicate. And yes, it was scary, but also I was 22 and had more gumption and less fear, right?
Right, but I love that you knew what you wanted and you were going to figure out how to make that happen. And that's inspiring. You just start calling. And of all places, Martha Stewart, like that was probably the top of the list of the people that you'd love to work for.
Oh, absolutely. And I remember flying out, and it was all just kind of a blur until it, settled on them hiring me, and I moved out to New York City to do the internship. But when I came to interview, new city, I'd never been to New York City, had to figure out how to get to the office, got to the front desk. The test kitchen director, Susan, met me there and then said, "Okay, come down to the test kitchen and you'll cook for us all day and we'll see how you do." And we walked down the stairs in this Manhattan office, and at the bottom of the stairs was Martha Stewart talking to somebody. And she just walked me right by her, and Martha's tall and I'm short, and I just remember looking up at Martha as I walked by, and I'm like, "Oh." And It was the pinnacle. Her magazine was one of the most popular lifestyle magazines in the country, in the world at that time. And she was an icon. And there I was, this, you know, young green cook from Utah coming to try to work there. And it was a very scary, fun, exciting experience.
Yeah, but that willing to take the risk for what you really wanted. And there are so many people that would have talked themselves out of that, thinking just taking, like I said, what life gives you. Okay, but then, so you start working for Martha Stewart, and then you started as an intern. Then did you continue working there full time afterwards?
They hired me. So my internship was about 18 weeks, and I wasn't good enough to be hired as an editor, you know, but they also didn't want to let me go. So I ended up being a contractor, a freelancer there for another 6 or 9 months. And then I still was so junior and I didn't have editorial experience. And so they created a position for me. They made it up, created a salary so that they could hire me on to the magazine. And I was the recipe developer. And that was my title in the masthead of the magazine, my first job. And so as a recipe developer, I did much of what I did as a freelancer and helped the other editors with their recipes and would go on photo shoots. And I slowly started to learn food styling and how to make food look beautiful for photographs. And all the editors at Martha Stewart did their own food styling. So we created the recipes and then we would go on the photo shoots and do the food styling, and then it would show up in the magazine. And so that's where I learned all of those skills. And over the years, I would get promoted. So I became a food editor and then senior food editor. And then I had the opportunity to work on the weddings, the Martha Stewart weddings magazines, and do different things there. And then she started a kids magazine, and I was able to do food for the kids magazine. So I learned a lot of different skills. I learned the branding and the techniques for creating recipes for all different types of people and audiences. And so that experience, it was hard. It was hard to work there. It was very political. And my bosses were mean, and, you know, it was hard, but I worked with some of the most talented people and talented photographers that were working in the industry at that time. And so when I did end up leaving, I had a lot of great connections that then propelled me into my next steps.
Wow, that's incredible. And you know what's interesting about that is I'm sure the culture of living in Arizona, living in Utah was probably different than living in Manhattan, New York, but also that competitive nature of Martha Stewart and who she is. I'm certain that most of the people that work there mirrored her intensity.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, it was political. The my bosses and all the people that were managers and bosses at Martha Stewart, they were the talent. So they weren't good managers. They were good art directors. They were good food editors. They were good garden editors. They were great craft people. They weren't good managers. So it was a hard place to work in that sense. But you know what that did? As I moved through the next steps of my career, I knew what kind of boss I didn't want to be. And I learned skills of sort of that flipped my work in the future, that I said, okay, now I have all of these skills and this is the kind of boss I want to be. This is the kind of food editor I want to be. And so, you know, for better or worse, every experience kind of builds on itself. And I think it was just part of the journey, and it was a great place to learn amazing skills.
Okay, but how did you endure the pain of like of that type of an atmosphere? Because you knew what you wanted and your goal was so crystal clear that even the adversity didn't get you discouraged from, I mean, because did you have moments where you're like, I think I want to quit?
You know, not until the end when I did quit. did I have those moments?
Yeah, but you quit because you were going, it was taking you to the next step, the next phase.
Yes. And to jump ahead a little bit, I quit because it did get really miserable. So Martha went to jail, and then the infrastructure of the company changed a bit. And so they brought you know, she was no longer on TV. So they brought a lot of television employees into the publishing world. And I got a new boss, and she was just really bad, really rough, and didn't treat me well. And it made me realize, oh, you know what? I've hit a ceiling. I'm the senior food editor at Martha Stewart magazine. I'm not going any, there's no place for me to go in this world. And also it's miserable. And so that's what kind of propelled me to quit and jump into the unknown. I didn't know what I was going to do after that.
Wow.
But I started freelancing, and I had, like I said, all these great connections, and photographers would give my name to producers and businesses. And so I had plenty of work, but it was that moment of, you know, oh, I've hit this ceiling, but I want to keep growing. I want to keep going on a journey. And this is kind of kicking me out to say, okay, Tara, do it, do it. But no, I honestly, I think I endured it because number one, I didn't know anything different. It was my first job out of college. It was my first corporate job, everything. So honestly, part of me was like, well, this is how it is. And then the other part was I knew I was working at one of the most prestigious companies and magazines at the time. You know, I was there when her company went through its IPO. So I went from it being a private company to a public company and seeing that growth and that amazing journey, even in the business sphere. And so I knew it was an amazing place to be. And I think that's what kept me there and kept me learning and kept me going.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that people don't realize is that highly successful people like yourself, that it's like, oh, it must be just, you know, rainbows and unicorns. You know, you're at Martha Stewart and all these things, thinking that it was so easy, but you pushed through a lot of adversity because you knew what you wanted to accomplish. And then once you hit the ceiling, the adversity wasn't worth it anymore. And you knew that it was time to turn the page. And so where did you go from there?
So I freelanced for about 2 years. And by freelancing, I mean, people would hire me to do food styling, not a ton of recipe development, because that wasn't, content creation wasn't really a thing then. But I was primarily a food stylist and kept quite busy working on various photo shoots and with different companies and things. And then Ladies Home Journal magazine came to me and said, hey, our food editor is leaving, and we need somebody to just kind of run the show while we interview people for that position. You know, could you come and fill in? And I thought, well, sure, you know, pay me my day rate. I can come and fill in. I have experience in this world. And I started being the fill-in food director at Ladies Home Journal magazine. And they were interviewing people. And it went on for months. And they couldn't really find anyone. And after about 5 months, they had been interviewing a lot of people, and they came to me and said, we like you. We like what you're doing. Would you ever consider working here? And I thought, I said to them, I was like, I like it here. Yes. So we figured it out. And I didn't know that I was going to leave the freelancing world. I had no intention of getting another full-time job.
Right.
But the opportunity presented itself, and I, even though it was scary and unknown, I took that leap and became the food director at another magazine.
Well, and the powerful lesson that I hear there, Tara, is whatever you've done, you've given it your all, and you've really performed at the highest level. And that's a great reminder for everyone listening, that because when you started in an internship, there was really no position for you at Martha Stewart to go from intern to the next step, right? But because you performed and gave it your all, then they created something for you, right? Then yeah. Ladies Home Journal, the same thing. They bring you in and you're like, okay, this is temporary, but I'm gonna give it my all. Mm-hmm. And when you knew what you wanted, you were like, I'm gonna go do this 100%. I'm not gonna leave anything back. Because a lot of people would have sat back at that temporary position and said, this is a temp position. I'll do this for a month or whatever. And how long did you end up being there?
I was at Ladies Home Journal for 7 years.
Whoa.
Yes. And then I would have stayed. I loved it, but it closed. The magazine closed because, you know, after all of these years, there's so many magazines that were closing and the industry was changing. But the fun thing about being at Ladies Home Journal was, number one, it was 130 years old. It had this amazing legacy in publishing. And it was one of the, they called them the seven sisters of lifestyle magazines for women. And it was like Good Housekeeping, Women's Day, Ladies Home Journal, Better Homes and Gardens. And all of those had sort of come about at the turn of the century or early in the 1900s. And slowly they started to close and the publishing companies weren't supporting them anymore because the audiences were dwindling and people were going online. Right. And Ladies Home Journal was a victim of that. Wow. And I get it. The name alone is kind of old fashioned,
right?
But I love that. I'm sentimental. I love history anyway. And so to be able to work at this magazine was such an amazing legacy of teaching women how to cook and people how to, you know, run their homes and learn about, you know, life and psychology and celebrity. And, you know, there was just everything in this magazine. But what was fun is I was part of sort of one of the recreations that that magazine went through. So every, you know, 10 or 15 years, they would need to sort of revamp and become a little bit more modern and change their persona and their brand. And I went through one of the biggest branding changes that magazine had ever had. And it was so fun because I got to be the one who was changing the food and bringing modern food and cooking and thought technique into that magazine. So that was really fun.
Tara, that's incredible. So you've had all these opportunities to actually have to pivot a little bit to make sure that you're still successful. There were so many times in your life, Tara, as you're just recounting these stories, where you could have had a victim mentality where like, oh, I can't believe this isn't working out. I can't believe this work is. So what has propelled you to cause you to be like, okay, this is going away, but I'm going over here. Okay, this is going away, but I'm going over here. To continue to be successful in an industry that when you started was thriving, and now it's gone.
Almost rock bottom. Yeah, almost gone, really. There's very few magazines out there left. But, you know, it's funny. You ask me that. What keeps propelling me? And I think it's several things. It's we had a quote on our home office wall when I was growing up. And my dad had, you know, put this quote up and it was, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always be what you've always been. Mm. And I mean, it's the only quote I remember, right? And it just made such an impression on me. But also that was the way my dad and mom felt about life. They were very adventurous themselves. We had lived overseas when I was young, just because my dad had this opportunity and took the adventure. He was often in his career, building capital for companies and then merging himself out of a job because he would merge it with a bigger company and say, you know, I want a new adventure. And so I saw that in life. And then just my experiences, each one of those experiences showed me that it's a journey and things build on a journey. And so even that desire for a destination becomes the journey. And so I have that sense of adventure and the sense of like, okay, risk maybe isn't terrible. Risk can take you to good places. And if I hadn't had that background or seen that in my own mom and dad and their lives and things, I don't know that I could have kept going. And I still have that with failures in business or setbacks. I'm like, there's always another step. There's always that next journey that you can take. And it might be hard, but you just kind of start pedaling slowly on that flywheel and it will get you going.
I love that. That's incredible that you have, I mean, and you're doing it in New York, right? You know, yeah. The great philosopher, Frank Sinatra, right? He said, if you can do it there, you can do it. You can do it absolutely anywhere. And so,
yeah. And my family has tried to tell me, oh, move to Utah and be close to us. Or now they live in Arkansas. Move to Arkansas. You can do your work anywhere. I like New York.
That is crazy. I love that. And I love that you just continue to go like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. And you have this belief system within yourself that you can really do hard things. And a lot of people don't realize that successful people like you, because you are so successful, Tara. And when they look at you, they think, oh, must be nice. But you even said there just a moment ago that, man, I've had my setbacks. I've had my failures. I've had my challenges, but yet I'm going to keep pedaling. I'm going to keep moving forward.
Yeah. I always laugh because failures in the kitchen have been as prominent as my failures in business, because I cook for a living, right? I cook recipes. There's always failures in the kitchen, you know, that you have to say, oh, that recipe didn't work. Let me look at that again and tweak something and try it again and see if it works. And, you know, you can't give up. I have given up on a few recipes. I will be honest. But there was this in one of my cookbooks. I wanted to make the perfect lemon pound cake. And I wanted it to be like all your dreams of a lemon pound cake, the best one you've ever had, you know, that slice with a little sour icing and just soft. And, you know, so I set out to make that pound cake for my cookbook. And 16 versions later, I was like, okay, it's ready to go in the cookbook. So that was one of the recipes I've made the most times. But I knew I could get it, and you couldn't make any big knee-jerk changes to the recipe. And I couldn't change three or four things at a time every time I made it. I had to take one little thing and adjust it and see what it did, because it's chemistry, right? Baking is chemistry. And so I just stuck to it. And it was another testament of, like, you know, being in the business for 25 years, I was like, I still have to do that and fail and fail and fail. And work and work and work until I get what I want. And so, yes, it's hard. Like, my failures in business have been setbacks and hard and miserable and scary, you know, financially scary. You have to just kind of say, okay, what can I do with what I've got right now?
Right. Wow. And now, I mean, you've published two cookbooks, and I love that story of the 16 recipes. That's amazing, because there are so many people that would think to themselves, Tara, I should have this figured out by now, right? That's a phrase that so many people say, and I hear it all the time, like, why don't I have this figured out? Why don't I have this figured out? Well, Tara, you have all this experience, and you're on your 16th time making this lemon pound cake.
There might be something wrong with me too, if we look at that, if we really step back and look at that, because through those 16 times, I would feed it to people and get people's feedback. And they were like, this is great. You've got it. It's perfect. And I was like, no, it's not. I just want it slightly different. I just want this different. So that might be a bad thing about me, but.
Well, I think your persistence and your drive in getting really clear on what you wanted, you knew what you wanted. You knew you wanted this certain pound cake to come out a certain way. I mean, everything that you shared is just a reminder to me of the power of clarity and knowing what you want. And you're going to do whatever it takes.
And it's hard. It's not fun sometimes. So, but we all know that, right? We all know that it does take like some internal drive and self-talk even sometimes to keep going.
Oh, I think that self-talk is huge. Yeah. It's powerful, because you could have given up so many times before, so many times, but you kept being persistent. And then now you've created, I mean, this incredible company. You've got this awesome website, and TaraTeaspoon.com. And you have two cookbooks. And Cassie, my wife, has both of them and loves them. And it's incredible what you've built. But even more so, Tara, are the lessons you just shared of importance of keep moving forward and have that persistence. And if you do your absolute best, opportunities will continue to come your way.
Yeah, you hope so, right? And I think that's true, because every door you open is going to have different and new opportunities. And you may have to step out and open a different door, but that's just, you got to keep going, right? Or you'll just be stuck right where you are. And, you know, I moved from a business where I was one of 6 or 7 people in the entire company doing my job. Mm. I was the food director of a magazine, and there were only a few of us in the entire company or country. And so there wasn't a lot of examples to look at. But there also wasn't a lot of competition.
Right.
And I realized the other day that I moved into a career as a food blogger where I can't even tell you how much competition there is or how many food bloggers there are to compete with or to also learn from or, you know, get insight from. But it's a very different world that I've put myself in, and I'm still learning. I feel like becoming a blogger and a website owner and a business owner, I basically had to go back to school while I was working. And by back to school, I mean, I had to learn on the job how to build a website, what SEO was, you know, how to do digital marketing, what keywording was, you know, all of this stuff while I was cooking and creating recipes and also learning how to be a photographer myself.
Wow.
And all of these things. And so I feel like I'm still on a journey and I'm still learning and I'm still sort of trying to claw through because I'm now in an industry that looks very different than my other career, where there are millions of food bloggers all over the world and we all compete for the same keywords on search engines. And we're all battling AI right now and don't know what the future of our business is. And so I'm at this like new crossroads of, okay, what do I do? My business can't be sustaining if I don't change and pivot, but I don't know what those pivots are. So yeah, it's a challenge.
But at the same time, you keep the same attitude and that same abundance mindset that you've always had, and things will continue to turn out great for you. And I know we're almost out of time here, Tara, but the reality is you talked about all of these food bloggers and how the competition is so fierce, yet you have a business where you bring food bloggers to New York to help them be more successful. That is the perfect example of that abundance mindset where you're like, look, I'm going to help as many people as I can. I'm going to show up the way you show up and not be fearful of, you know, all these food bloggers. But if I can make enough people successful, then I'll have success too.
Well, and that's one of the beauties of working in a business where there are a lot of us. Hmm. You do get people who relate to you. When we get together as food bloggers, there are good ones that you can trust and we're transparent with each other and we do bolster each other up. And there's not very many businesses out there that can really do that. But if you find that mastermind group or that support group, we're the only ones that really understand what we do and all the hats right. that we wear to run our businesses. And it's a good thing as well as a hard thing with all the competition.
Well, your attitude, your mindset, and what drives you is a phenomenal lesson for everybody. And your success is there to show for it. So,
well, thanks,
Tara.
Thanks.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for taking the time. It was great being with you. Absolutely loved what you shared.
Thank you. It was so nice to talk to you. And you are just the best cheerleader. So I'll talk to you anytime.
All right. Well, take care. Bye now.